Which is amazing because I don't normally do takes.
Quality.
Yeah, we'll reach that level at some point. I'm leaving this in. Once again, hello everyone, and welcome to this month's edition of Real Geeks and our 4 days late review of Spider-Man Far From Home, because screw you, Marvel Studios Scheduling Department.
Tuesday's a normal day to put a movie out, isn't it?
Oh, totally. I mean, I get the logic of them not necessarily wanting to open on July 4th.
Yeah.
But just give Will Smith a cameo and problem solved.
Two things about that. One, I almost suspect it's the creeping, it's just the inevitable creep of when they open a film on Friday now, you can go see it Wednesday night. So, of course, it makes sense that now you can see it Tuesday.
Oh, yeah, inevitably, because, I mean, at this point, advanced screening is like an hour before.
Right?
So, anywho, this is the, of course, second Spider-Man film with the national treasure that is Tom Holland in the lead role. And I will fight anyone who says otherwise. Because I'm sorry, that man is the best thing to happen to Spider-Man since the 94 cartoon.
I absolutely agree, and Spider-Man 1 and 2 under Sam Raimi are well overdone praise-wise, because compared, Tom Holland's just amazing.
So, this is 5 years after Endgame, because, let's be honest, the entire universe needed that much recovery time.
it's 8 months after Endgame. It's 5 years after Infinity War.
Oh, yeah, I could have... They gave me the impression it was 5 years after Endgame.
Years after the first bit of Endgame, when, they chopped Thanos' head off.
Okay.
And then that jumps 5 years.
Okay, see, that makes more sense.
Yeah.
But in any case, we open in Peter's high school with the standard high school news broadcast that is basically there for the purpose of summarizing everything that's happened before.
and hand-waving away the overwrought melodrama of the previous one so that we can be like, okay, new tone. Everything's cool. This is the aperitif. That was serious. Now we're having kids doing memes.
Basically. And of course, I am Mike Montgomery, and I'm joined once again by Mickey Gorman. Because I don't know what the hell happened to the rest of my cast at this point.
And I'm always around. How about no Mike?
Exactly. Paula's in Montreal. Trevor, again, baby. So, essentially, at this point, Peter is still still traumatized over the death of Tony Stark, and as much as people complain about the fact that Uncle Ben still has not been referenced directly in the MCU, let's be honest, Tony is basically Uncle Ben at this point.
Yeah, it would just be superfluous to have another character doing the same thing when he has Tony as that father figure.
Exactly.
And they're kind of looping in Nick Fury in terms of that character as well. Because in the Ultimate Comics, Nick Fury was like, alright, so the Iron Man Spider-Man dynamic is based on the Nick Fury Spider-Man dynamic of Ultimate Comics. So I kind of like to see them shift that, so it's like, presume that he had this dynamic with Uncle Ben. Now we're going to show you that dynamic with his surrogate. The surrogate's dead. He has a surrogate for a surrogate.
Basically, and at this point, I'm going to probably piss off a lot of purists by saying this, but we don't need Uncle Ben!
Yeah, I think this
is... We don't!
Yeah, it's been done to death. It's the same as, you don't need to show the origins of Batman constantly. We get it. We know. We understand his character.
Warner Brothers, I hope you're paying attention.
Do something interesting with that character.
Yeah.
Which they have. And I've seen people complain that, part of the fun of enjoying Spider-Man was he was always poor when I was poor. He was always run down. And now he's science bro with at that point later on in the film when he's building the new suit. And they're like, but that just undermines all that poor Spider-Man stuff. It's like, but that's not this Spider-Man.
No, exactly. And I think even in the comics, the poor Spider-Man has been done over and over so many times that it's really like they just refuse to let the character grow.
Exactly. And it makes no sense within the context of the world he lives in. You could have been poor and living in Queens in a house in the 60s and the 70s and the 80s. You can't have a sweet apartment in Queens and be poor. You have to have a certain amount of money.
Yeah.
Sorry. Plus, there's the fact that if Happy Hogan is dating Aunt May, and if Tony left a few things to Parker, I presume he's making sure that they can make rent.
You would think. And now, in terms of general thoughts, I gotta be honest, as much as I am a huge Spider-Man fan and have been for all my life, going in, this movie had me really worried. Because, quite simply, just from trailers and just general discussions beforehand, I was very worried that I had the main story completely figured out before going in.
Because I turned out to have the main story completely figured out going in, and I enjoyed it.
Oh, yeah.
I saw it with someone who was unfamiliar with the character Mysterio. So it actually was a reveal. And they were telling me afterward, they're like, the first half of this film, I thought this was just going to be a dud, and it was like crappy. I don't know who these villains are. This guy's much more interesting than Spider-Man. And I'm just sitting there like, it actually worked. The twist works.
Oh, yeah, it works. I had the problem in the sense that I was just sitting there going, okay, I know the twist is coming. Can we get there now? But that said, everything around the main story was goddamn great.
That I like Jake Gyllenhaal, but that was easily his best performance.
Oh yeah, and it's a fascinating thing where, as with Homecoming and the Vulture, again they've taken an absolute joke of a villain and made him really cool.
Yeah, it's not only that they make him cool, they go out of their way to make these villains personable to Peter. It's not just so many villains are on completely different trajectories,
yeah,
and they happen to run into the superhero. I really like that they're tying everything personally to Peter. That way, it has a lot more Parker-esque weight, because when stuff goes bad for Peter Parker, it's personal.
Yeah.
It's always personal. And so making it personal, it elevates it. And he has to have elevated villains. And he easily is the Batman of the Marvel Universe. He's the one standout.
Yeah.
Best
folks
gallery. So there should be that same personhood, or like relationship as Batman has with his rogues, and like he's responsible for some of them. Irresponsible, yeah. You know, it's really, I really like the turn they've taken. Where it's just no. We're slowly building instead of just rushing to the end. And it's like we have a room full of the Sinister Six's stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
It's slow building. It's beautiful.
The film opens like for Peter more or less with Spider-Man appearing at a benefit for the homeless. And for those of you familiar with the comics, and I believe, yeah, it's the PS4 game as well, which I have to say, this pulled a surprisingly large amount from the PS4 game.
I'm not surprised that Sony was like, oh my god, that game was amazing,
yeah,
and critics loved it, and it got our vision of Spider-Man in without having to go through Marvel cinema. So let's just pepper that in. Pepper that in because it's something we did good.
Oh yeah, no, like, it made sense, and if nothing else, unlike the game, this actually made me like the suit with the white spider.
Fair enough. Yeah, the game is a little, like, garish with it, but having it just on the back is like,
That works.
And it's functional.
Oh yeah.
It's not just a spider, it's a parachute.
Yeah, it's a nice drag shirt, and I'm just in the theater like, of course it is.
Yeah, yeah.
Why not? So we see Spidey in the Iron Spider, and I'm going to insist on continuing to use air quotes there, because that suit looks nothing like the comic book Iron Spider.
Yeah, quite frankly, I prefer it to the comic book Iron Spider. It just has a better design.
Oh, yeah. My only thing is, I just want it to have a different name.
Yeah.
Really.
You can't call it the Cosmic Spider, because I swear to God, they're going to build up to the point where you get Cosmic Spidey. Have you ever read the Cosmic Spidey? Captain Universe Superman?
Yeah. I've not read it specifically, but I've, seen enough.
I swear they're going to get to that point when it's just like, no, here's the Infinity Gauntlet worth of power. Go try to be a neighborhood Spider-Man now that you know literally everything.
So we, more or less started at this charity event, and they go backstage. Happy shows up to present May with the check that Pepper has signed as a donation, and proceed to flirt with May to the point that even Peter is going, good lord, this is awkward.
That performer, Tom Holland, has an excellent awkward face.
Oh, yeah. When Peter Parker is saying that watching you flirt is incredibly awkward, Peter Parker!
And while they come back to that repeatedly throughout the movie, it never gets tired.
No, it's basically the standard rule of threes of comedy, of where you don't hit the joke more than three times.
Yeah, and they hit it at precise times when... it's not like they hit it and then 5 minutes later they hit it. They hit it, and then an hour and a half later they hit it again, and then just at the end they hit it.
Exactly.
Perfect.
And Happy is also there to give Peter a pair of glasses that Tony had left him. This was actually really my first problem with the movie. I just have trouble with the idea. The glasses are, of course, Stark Industries smart glasses, because, it's Tony Stark, and pretty much the man will build a coffee maker with an AI.
Yeah, yeah. This is the man who created Ultron and didn't actually see a problem with doing that. He saw the problem with, okay, my approach to it was wrong.
Yeah.
I just need to build the AI again.
Now, this time around, the AI is Edith, which is the most Tony Stark acronym
that was the best
ever conceived.
Best acronym. Even dead,
I'm the hero.
Oh my god! And that's one thing that I really love is how much work and prep the character did before he went off to fight Thanos. So it's like, how often does he do this, where there's just like a back room filled with shit that he recorded?
Yeah.
I'm probably gonna die.
No, in that respect, I love the glasses. It's they're so ridiculously Tony that it's absolutely perfect.
So wonderful, yeah.
The problem that I had was more in terms of Tony has left these smart glasses that basically control the equivalent of the nuclear codes of the United States.
I'm pretty sure you could take over certain, many smaller countries with that one piece of, eyewear.
And has apparently so little security on them. There's no command codes, nothing. Leaves this much power to a 16-year-old kid.
Yeah.
And Pepper doesn't say anything?
Right? And this is the same Tony who put training wheel protocol on a previous suit, which does have lethal options, and he intentionally, stopped that. It's like, okay, you can do one lethal thing to people, but I'm going to make sure that you have to go through the program to do that. And he reached now the point where he's like, by the way, here's a satellite with, 150 flying tanks in it.
Yeah.
I don't care. You don't even have to do a tutorial to understand this. And apparently you can launch them on kill strikes with a single command. No confirmation, no maybe. Edith doesn't even go really want to do that?
No, you know, no, like, literally, my iPhone has more security on it than these glasses do.
It's just compared to how much attitude Jarvis and Friday had.
Yeah.
Like, and Edith is just like, yeah, okay. Say no. It feels like you had a lot of good ideas, but you kind of scrapped tiny, tiny bits of continuity to fit in those good ideas. It's not disruptive. It's just if you're an uber nerd, you're going to notice these problems.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's essentially the glasses were, like, had great moments.
Yeah.
But obvious plot device is really obvious.
Right? And maybe, here's a concept. If you have an AI that is capable, a multi-billion dollar AR AI, capable of launching, like, satellite strikes, maybe it should also be tied to the Stark database. So, like, when Quentin starts using them, Pepper could just be like, what the hell is going on?
Yeah.
Shut down. One tiny little bit of, like, universe building, and I love the way MCU does this, is at some point, Beck and Parker are talking, and Parker says, oh yeah, you know, like, Thor used to be a myth, and now I study him in physics class. And it's like, I completely understand now why that teacher was like, witches. Because there's the Scarlet Witch.
Yeah. I mean, like, there's the Scarlet Witch, there's Doctor Strange, and there is so much in this world now that it's got to be damn hard to be a skeptic, because it's so hard to not go, yeah, all right.
Which I love that they use that
for
the crux of this story. It's entirely based on, you bought all of that, you'll buy this. You know, like the whole Mysterio's from a different dimension, and they say Earth 616, and
that
gorgeous.
That almost bugged me.
Really?
Specifically because Marvel Information has previously referred to the cinematic universe as Earth, I think, 19999.
Which, that's very fair, because, yeah, you're right, this isn't the comic universe.
No.
It's not 616, and 616 is dead. But I almost feel like he wasn't actually saying it is 616. It was bullshit he made up. That is a reference.
Yeah.
They are an alternate universe. They're just not 616.
No. Like, the 616 was clearly there as a comics reference.
Yeah.
But I just felt like it was a comics reference that wasn't necessary.
That, very fair. They could have just said, like, you know, literally any other number.
I don't know how we go into the movie any further than this without going into spoiler territory. We'll just drop the spoiler warning right now. And I'm actually going to open the spoiler section. We're going to move away from the plot for a second. To present you with a Real Geeks exclusive. Now, of course, one of the things with this movie that has really been in the news lately has been the posters for the movie.
Oh, yeah.
Which, most of those, I honestly didn't have a problem with.
Some of them are bad, though.
Some of them, to me, look like the equivalent of a scrapbook from a high school trip.
Which makes sense.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But I also feel like, okay, this was done by Sony's department, not Marvel Disney's department. Yeah.
Because, on the other hand, there's, of course, been the two Nick Fury posters, where depending on which poster you look at, that eye patch is either on the right or the left eye. And I would actually like to now present the first film poster from the third Spider-Man movie, Spider-Man Homeward Bound, The Incredible Journey.
I love it. I want it. I'm going to watch it 100 times in theaters. Oh my god.
And
oh my god, I love how that's not even cropped.
And also, if you believe a word that I just said, you have missed one of the major points of this film, which is the power of fake journalism. Because, of course, that film poster is utter bullshit that I had photoshopped just for shits and giggles.
And yet, it's, you never know. They may make it Homeward Bound and just be like, what about it? What?
Homecoming, Far From Home. I feel like just reusing Homeward Bound is just a logical title choice for Disney. With the main story, I was worried going in because I was almost instantly predicting it's the hero is handed this mantle that he doesn't feel he's ready to take, hands it off to somebody else, realizes it's a huge mistake, and then has to fight to take it back.
Yeah, which that's what the story is. It's just, you can do that two ways. You can do that really heavy-handedly and horrible, or you can do it nice, chill, relaxed. I really like that Quentin, at some point, of course, you have to have your villain be villainous.
Yeah.
And the first person Quentin is actually legit villainous to are his own people. And it's not an immediate thing of, like, he turns and he's evil. No, when he does the character turn, he's still charismatic and charming.
No,
he's popular, he's got friends, and they have a reason.
As much as on the one hand, the character does basically turn on a dime.
Oh, yeah.
On the other hand, where he goes from grizzled mentor hero to basically Broadway director so goddamn fast.
I love that moment. Faster, speed up, through this part. Rewind. Beautiful.
That one moment is just brilliant, Jake Gyllenhaal.
Oh, so good. He carries what would otherwise have been like, now for my maniacal speech! It just becomes like, whatever. You're sharing the success among your friends, and you're not just being like, I will rule the world. He's like, we, and thank you, and thank you. And it was really cool. Far more realistic villainy. They don't think they're evil.
Yeah, exactly. For me, the villain who thinks that they're doing the right thing is far scarier than the megalomaniac.
And they have a legitimate point. As we said earlier, you shouldn't give a multi-billion-dollar weapons platform to a 16-year-old.
No, and exactly. And it's, on one hand, it is the standard Mysterio origin of this overlooked individual who puts this plan into motion because he wants to be seen as the hero.
Yeah.
And it's, again, the standard of building a villain character from Stark Industries.
I really like how, more or less, Quentin's dead, I presume.
Yeah.
Quentin's dead, and they probably can't afford to have Jake back to do more. So, like, obviously they can afford to have him back, but by shifting it to that extra from the first Iron Man film. You can have him forever. He's gonna be super cheap. That's great.
Oh yeah, no, exactly. It's standard Mysterio stuff that we've seen hundreds of times before.
Yeah.
But by inserting the Quentin Beck character as well as most of his crew into these relatively obscure moments in previous Marvel films.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, actually, that was kind of cool.
It was brilliant. I've been wondering for years what they're going to do with Barf, and I personally still believe Tony's AI is in Barf somewhere. Tony's dead.
Yeah.
His mind is somewhere in Barf.
Oh, no doubt.
But having it pull back to be like, no, he designed it. This is the guy who designed it. Because, of course, Tony doesn't design literally everything. The poor guy. Yeah, he must have been so frustrated where it's like, I created a revolutionary AR interface, and you called it Barf? I hate you! It's just like classic Spider-Man.
Yeah.
He's a menace. Actually, I was kind of annoyed that at no point does J.K. Simmons... And J.K. Simmons is back! J.K. Simmons is back! He doesn't say menace, and that's all I wanted was for him to just be like, he's a menace!
No, he didn't, but at the same time, you're so happy just to see him.
Oh my god.
That it's almost the equivalent of Chris Evans and Avengers Assemble.
Yes.
You know that line is coming, you don't need it right away.
Yeah, you can have the patience to wait. I don't want to wait 10 years to hear him say menace again, but I will if it's well done. Plus, I can always go watch clips of him as the Sam Raimi version. I just love that they were like, no, some things work.
Yeah.
We're not going to change this. You know, there's a kind of minor changes. Like, he's now essentially Alex Jones. He's bald. He doesn't have the Hitler mustache.
Which, as iconic as that is for the character...
makes no sense.
Yeah, today, maybe we don't want to do that.
People would definitely be like, hey, bro, why do you have a Hitler mustache? No one would take him seriously, because everyone would be like, what's this?
No, exactly, and I mean, like you said, he's very much now the MCU's Alex Jones.
Yeah.
Which, again, connects to the PS4 game, and really, at this point, is the best use of JJJ that, like, really anyone could possibly come up with. And I think if there's one true positive coming out of this film, I think that's it. The simple fact that they have set up so much... But none of it was what we thought they were setting up.
Yeah, no, you expected them to go big and cosmic and multi-dimensional and like, oh, maybe there'll be a bit of X-Men in this. No. Totally,
yeah, okay,
grounded.
No, I'm sorry. Y'all need to stop that. The slightest bit of common sense would tell you we are not going to see the X-Men in the MCU till a late phase 5 or 6.
Yeah, it's got to be a while.
Now... I think one last thing, really, before we go into ratings, and one last complaint on my end, and this is kind of with the Spider-Man movies in general. I really, as much as I love Michelle the character, I don't like her being MJ.
Really? Because I was going to say the opposite. I love that take on MJ. I love that it's so completely different, like distantly different from any previous MJ, and yet as you see from how she determines Peter's identity and the dynamic she has with him once that's known,
yeah,
that's MJ.
Well, yeah, like they've done, like I said, I love the character herself.
Yeah,
she's so different and so much her own character that calling her MJ to me feels like a reference just for the sake of a reference.
Fair enough.
Now, in terms of ratings, it genuinely hurts me to say this. I can't go to a 5. As much as I loved everything around the main story.
Yeah.
Like I said, Tom Holland is an absolute gift. As much as I'm not a fan of the darker Spider-Man stories in the comics, I enjoy the comedic wise-ass Spidey. Seeing Holland's performance during the final act of this movie, because at points, especially for him, oh, that got dark.
Oh, yeah, like... If it was any other character, these would be a very dark film. But it's quippy and bright and kind of sarcastic, and it really works.
Yeah. And so with that in mind, I'm giving this a 4. Like, I can't call it perfect.
Yeah.
But there is so much here that is so good. And you kind of go in expecting this to be the palate cleanser film that Ant-Man was after Infinity War.
And I love that approach that these Marvel films have, where if the last one was super comedic, the next one's going to be a bit more serious or super serious.
Yeah.
But we're not going to follow that with more serious. We don't want you to get exhausted. So it's fantastic.
Yeah. And I loved how this was not just the palate cleanser, but a legitimate aftermath story as well, because let's be honest, Peter's a tad traumatized.
Just a wee bit traumatized. You gave your rating. Likewise, I'm not going to say 5, because I believe 5 is important. Perfection was reached in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. It's the Avengers Assemble scene.
Yeah.
And,
oh yeah.
If you attempt to then claim that other things are equal to that, you're just going to cheapen that. So you're absolutely right. It's not perfect, because that was perfect.
Oh yeah.
It's a 4.5 for me, because I feel
like
they are, every one of these films gets better in some aspect. Even if it's just, oh, you've learned to do that a little better technically. Oh, you've learned to now incorporate things like this. They keep getting better. Where is the end?
Yeah, exactly. And like I said, even though they didn't set up the idea of the multiverse the way that we thought they would,
it just makes it more exciting, because now I want to see when they do.
Yeah, no, like, I think even just having J.K. Simmons come back, I've seen people on the internet calling for a Spider-Man movie that would bring Tom Holland, Andrew Garfield, and Tobey Maguire together for essentially a live-action Spider-Verse.
I believe they've already floated a script where the next, where Spider-Verse 2 includes Tom Holland. So they are working on that, whether or not, you know, like, I'm sure Andrew Garfield will be down for it, but Tobey Maguire. That was 19 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, he might do it just for the sake of getting some work, but... but next month, folks... As I've established many times, as a fan of terrible films, next month I'm referring to as Christmas Comes Early, because we'll be starting with Hobbs and Shaw, and if I can get the studio time, we will also be doing Dora and the Lost City of Gold.
Oh, but that actually looks really good.
Because, frankly, the first live-action Nickelodeon film since The Last Airbender.
Yeah.
I gotta know!
God, let's not talk about that. Yeah, can you pull it off? Because we know these properties work. Why do you screw them up so bad?
Until next month, you'll also find me in our Pokemon Go Community Day videos. Whenever John Roy has the time to finish editing them. next month, at least Paula should be back, because she's the one who wanted to do Hobbs and Shaw in the first place. Mickey, you'll probably be back, because I'm just going to assume Trevor's unavailable.
Yeah, and as I said earlier, I'm around, apparently.
And maybe we'll have somebody else from the Geeks vs. Nerds crews. As I've said before, I will record these with anyone.
So let's get someone who truly despises the Fast and the Furious movies in and make them watch it.
Pig Monkey, you busy?
I'd pay to see that.
All right, that's going to be our official wrap.
Goodbye.
't forget to hit those like and subscribe buttons, share this video with your friends, and drop us a line anytime you like. But you know what? And I think this is probably going to be the post-credits sting here, but like, in all seriousness, I wanted Pig Monkey on the Robin Hood review so badly.
Oh my God, I bet that would have just been like, why'd you made me see this? Then you're dragging me in here to talk about it for an hour.
No, like, he's legitimately a huge Robin Hood fan.
Yeah.
And I knew what that movie was going to be from literally before I saw the first trailer. So to be able to put Pig Monkey on camera and just let him go.
I mean, yeah, you could leave the room and just have him be like...
Like, my God, the glorious content.
People's glorious content.
And I mean, from the guy who was praying that Trevor was going to get the call that his wife was in labor while we were recording, I will clearly put anything on camera.
We are a supportive show.
A As long as it benefits me in some way.
Welcome to the entertainment industry.
Oh my gosh.